You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The New Zealand Breastfeeding Alliance, the New Zealand College of Midwives and the Paediatric Society of New Zealand have joined forces to remind New Zealanders that successful breastfeeding involves the whole whānau. World Breastfeeding Week runs from the 1st to the 7th of August, so this week, and aims to highlight the huge benefits that breastfeeding can bring to both the health and welfare of babies, as well as a wider impact on maternal health, focusing on good nutrition, poverty reduction, sustainability, and food security. Now, I firstly spoke with the executive officer from the New Zealand Breastfeeding Alliance, Jane Cartwright, and I started off by asking her about the theme of this year's World Breastfeeding Week, which is a step up for breastfeeding and what it means to her.
Well, it means to me probably around accountability for breastfeeding within our health systems, workplaces and communities, and it relates to this internationally, it's around support for education, because World Breastfeeding Week is a world week, obviously, and they've got to focus on education here in Aotearoa. We're really wanting people to step up and understand the interrelationship of all those components to improve our breastfeeding rates, particularly to 6 months.
Now, this article here mentions a call for government accountability, and like you said, the need to strengthen the capacity of health systems, workplaces and communities to protect, as well as promote and support breastfeeding across all levels of society. One big conversation we hear with breastfeeding is stigma. Could I maybe get your thoughts on where we're at today in terms of stigma within society in New Zealand surrounding breastfeeding?
So I'd start that by reminding us, remember that most children born in New Zealand today are not European. So how are we working with our broad range of communities who have different cultural and other practices and how they approach breastfeeding and, you know, run their lives, the role of women and the role of families? So what we do see is, at the time of birth, breastfeeding rates across all our communities, particularly Māori and Pacifica, are high. So people get started. But it's often when people go home and have inadequate support, maybe they need to go back to work, maybe they are ashamed to breastfeed in front of their family. And so what we see is we see more work happening with families to not make mum feel embarrassed. And we do see more general acceptance in some workplaces. Places like Kmart or The Warehouse are very active in providing breastfeeding places for women who are shopping to breastfeed. Likewise, in some of the malls, there are places provided which are not the toilet. And then within some sort of other government and other facilities, you start to see, a bit like you saw at the United Nations after Jacinda Ardern was there, when they created a feeding room for mothers. So I think the stigma's lessening, but there are parts of society that we need to continue to make feel comfortable about women out and about breastfeeding, and women being able to feel that they can breastfeed when they're in a caf or when they're out and about in a way which is meets the needs of them and their family. Some women are very private, and some women naturally cover up, some women less cover up. So I think it's a societal change. But in answer to your question, I think we're making some progress, but there is still stigma.
Yeah, and I guess there are ways to definitely work on that stigma, and of course it would be a gradual process.
And we do see places, and if you think about, if, you know, in times of high employment, if people want to get working mothers back to work, how do they support working mothers who want to continue to breastfeed when they come back to work, by giving them a pleasant space to express or to breastfeed? Or can they, are there childcare facilities at the place they work? Can they nip across at lunchtime and feed their baby and then go back to work? So, there are lots of, it's about exploring these options, really.
Now, the Paediatric Society neonatal specialist, Nicola Austin, says that new mothers need a supportive environment, particularly support from fathers or partners, to ensure breastfeeding is successful, and that early health professional advice as well as whānau and workplace support are important factors in how long a mother will breastfeed.
That's right.
I guess this all sort of plays into, you know, getting rid of stigma and really just emphasises that support on breastfeeding.
All those things count. You know, it's just as hard for dad to suddenly have a new person in the house who doesn't sleep 8 hours like he might like to, when and, you know, to support his partner and to look after the other children, do some of the domestic chores maybe, and how do we support fathers, new fathers in particular, to understand having a new baby is requires a lot of adjustment. And it's not simple, so that's why we want to make sure that health professionals support fathers and fathers support fathers about what it's like to become a new father. And again, that workplace support, that, you know, if your wife is sick or your baby is sick, can you use your sick leave to stay home to look after them? All those practical things.
Yeah, now I also want to highlight a few other issues which Nicola Austin did bring up. She said that in Aotearoa, New Zealand, around 80% of babies are exclusively breastfed on discharge from baby-friendly services. However, this percentage drops significantly by 6 weeks after birth. And at 6 months, they'd like to see more babies being exclusively and fully breastfed for longer.
Well, this would be what evidence suggests is the best, provides the best outcomes for babies. It doesn't minimise the fact that we need to be supportive of families who choose to feed their children formula, but the evidence would suggest that fully breastfed infants to 6 months will have better health outcomes in the long term. And that's to do with rates of obesity, that's to do with allergies, it's to do with a lot of conditions that we get in our older age. So, I mean, I can't speak on behalf of Nicola. I'm sure she'll be available to talk to you. But, you know, from her perspective, she knows the data, as we do, that how do we, as a society, because it's not the hospital services and it's not the midwives who are going to support mothers at two weeks, 6 weeks, 3 weeks, 6 months to breastfeed. It will be their community, maybe their whānauora nurse, their Plunket nurse, their GP, their practice nurse, their general family. It'll be grandma. Does she come and do the washing? Does she help out with meals? Is it dad? Is it the workplace? What's that community doing to support that mother and that baby to continue to breastfeed for a longer period of time?
Now, just in terms of really stepping up for breastfeeding, what would you like to see done on the government side, policies, anything that we need to do to really help get rid of any disparities that alleviate stress for women?
Okay, so what I'd like to see is that government signed off and launched the New Zealand breastfeeding strategy right at the end of 2020, and now we're getting at the other end of COVID. I'd like to see it actually put into practice and support our colleagues across a whole range of maternity, breastfeeding and well child and other health services getting behind implementing that, particularly within the new health reforms. And that will require some funding and focus over a number of years to support mothers and babies and whānau to breastfeed right from prior to birth, during the birth in hospital or the birthing process, and then as people, you know, adapt to having a new baby in the community. That's what I'd like to see.
Yeah.
And there's no doubt that we would need to be very mindful. As I said, we need to make sure that the right cultural lens is on those things, so that for Māori, we think about how does that work for them, and for Pacifica in particular, whose rates drop away more quickly, what do those communities think will work, and how could we support them to implement that?
I then spoke with Nicola Austin, a neonatal specialist from the Paediatric Society. We spoke about how stepping up for breastfeeding involves the whole whānau. Here she is now.
You know, it's hard work, breastfeeding. It's tiring, it's relentless, and through the night. So if you're doing it on your own, it is significantly harder. And so there is some evidence from studies that show that the father impact is real, and obviously a partner equally important. So it is around that setting that combined expectation and how you're going to get through, particularly those first 2 to 4 weeks together.
Now, I also spoke to Jane about how 80% of babies are exclusively breastfed on discharge from baby-friendly services. However, this percentage drops significantly by 6 weeks after birth and at 6 months. However, you'd like to see more babies being exclusively and fully breastfed for longer.
I think it's important to include the fully. Fully means you're predominantly breastfeeding. You might have had a non-breast milk feed at some point. And the fully is another few percent, but it's higher as you go up the post-birth timeframes, the 2, 4, and 6 month time period. We have data collected through Wellchild Tamariki Ora at 6 weeks, and then the 4 and 6 months, I'm just not for remembering where they it's going to be less complete and less, certainly at 6 months, then solids might have been introduced. And so we're really focusing, I guess, on the discharge 2 weeks, 6 weeks, and 4 months time, because before then, babies should be fully milk fed.
Now, another issue which has been brought up is systemic inequities, which can result in food insecurity, poverty, and housing unaffordability. Again, all factors contributing to broader stresses many whānau are consumed by when it comes to breastfeeding. I wanted you to touch on this, and what do we see here in Aotearoa with these systemic inequities, and how does it affect a woman's ability to breastfeed?
Yeah, the Māori rates are only a few percent below New Zealand European. I think there has been a lot of support and focus put into the whānau and the Māori health providers, and we definitely need to put more into Pacific people, Indian and Asian, because they are much more likely to mix feed from very early on. And there's no obvious reason that I can think of. There are some cultural differences and perceptions that we, you know, you need for certainty around the volumes of babies feeding, but work with support, I guess it is that the teaching and the experience is, you know, breastfeeding is there from the start, and it's not. It's got to be built up, particularly over those first 2 weeks, and mature milk isn't really till 2 to 4 weeks of age. We do a lot of education, but education has to be supported by peer support and one-to-one, and people of the same ethnicity is definitely has a better impact overall.
What do you think needs to be done in order to address these systemic inequities?
Yeah, so, you know, there's parental leave is through till 6 months, so that changing that is not going to help it. Time off work for the partner is mostly up to employee years, and understanding the need for that in the first few weeks. I think in Sweden they actually give the mothers and the fathers, I don't act for the premature babies, leave. And understanding that it's not just the mother is probably helpful. The child support payments kick in that from once the baby's been registered. that can be a delay and a lag because of busyness and stress, as you say, of food security and heating and housing. So it is really that background level of support that helps those that are influenced by the pressures of life.
How do you think stigma plays a part?
I read a recent article by a pediatrician in the UK, I think, where from the male view of breast as having that sexual component is not something that's borne out as the same by women. So we've got this gender difference in how we view breasts. And biologically, they are, of course, that is the food source. So again, it is a society and a cultural aspect. And that's why I guess the slogan is Step Up for Breastfeeding. It's not, breastfeeding is should be the right, and where it's successful and where it's possible, and of course we've got to support people where there are challenges, but it is food for the baby, and by if you like calling these stigmas and these people out, changing that societal view.
Is there anything else which you think needs to be highlighted?
So, I mean, the breastfeeding impact on infections in particular is very real and continues beyond the breastfeeding duration as well. But the longer you breastfeed, and certainly up to a year, it really influences the incidence of ear infections, but chest infections, and particularly gastro infections, so tummy bugs. So it's persists, and it also can reduce that impact of eczema, which can be related to cow's milk protein. The immune properties is why these factors, these diseases and illnesses are reduced. That also probably, we know, has a good impact on body composition. So, you're less likely to be getting overfeeding and excessive weight gain in that first year. And it does have an impact on learning. So there's higher IQs in quite a few studies that have looked at both duration and timing of breastfeeding.
That was Paediatric Society neonatal specialist Nicola Austin speaking to me, as well as Jane Cartwright, the executive officer from the New Zealand Breastfeeding Alliance, speaking to me about World Breastfeeding Week and the themes which surround it, which is Step Up for Breastfeeding.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.